Morningstar City, it's with such sadness that we heard of the passing of Rose Harvey this morning, and we left with such bittersweet emotions. We're going to miss her terribly, and yet we know that she's home with the father she's loved for so many years. And once we're allowed to gather again as a church, we'll hold a fitting memorial for her right here. We'll gather the church and we'll see if we can get her boys out from the UK to come and join us, and we'll give her a fitting send off, a fitting farewell. And yeah, God bless. Hey, South City, a very good morning to you all, and welcome to Your Kingdom Come series. I've got two parts to today's message, one today and next Sunday. We'll finish off the second half. First, today, we need to unpack a definition of kingdom. And then next Sunday, we together are going to make a discovery around this kingdom. So for today, we're going to define what God's kingdom looks like. So Jesus teaches us to pray, Your Kingdom Come. But what exactly does he mean by that? Well, in this series, we're going to find out. And so for us to understand it, we need to go back to the early first century when Jesus lived. Now remember, Jesus was a Jew in Israel. And we need to remember that the Jewish people had been going through a very difficult time for close on 500 years by then. You see, in 597 BC, the independent nation of Israel was taken captive by Babylon. And since then, they had been taking one humiliating beating after another by one tyrant king after another. Babylon, Persia, Greece, and now Rome occupied Israel. And the Jews were desperately wanting God to liberate them from these bully oppressors. But you know, my friends, 597 BC wasn't the first time that Israel had been oppressed. Back in 1300 BC, they'd been oppressed by Egypt. The Jews were taken into Egypt as forced labor slaves. And back then, they called on God for deliverance. And back then, through Moses, God delivered them from Egypt in an act of absolute power when he opened up the Red Sea. No longer under Egyptian reign, they were now a people under the kingly power of God. But here, in the early first century, under Roman rule, they wanted God to rescue them once again. And so this explains why the Jews of this period in history, they absolutely loved the book of Isaiah. Why? Well, you see, Isaiah was written 700 years before, and it was a book that promised that God's kingdom was on its way. I want to say that again. Isaiah is a prophetic book that promises that God's kingdom is on its way. 66 chapters in length. A full 40 of these chapters are about a coming kingdom. And so the Jews thoroughly immersed themselves in Isaiah, and they believed that God would once again demonstrate his royal liberating power in an awesome way. And it was reading biblical texts like Isaiah that caused the Jews to think of the world in two ages. The world in two ages. The present evil age and a coming kingdom age. And they believed they lived in the present evil age, where people all around them worshipped false gods, where Satan's work seemed to be rampant in lives and in society. Now, I must just let you know that the New Testament tells us that we live in a present evil age. You go check it out, Galatians 1:4, a time where the worship of false gods thrive, a time where Satan's power seems to run unchecked. But the prophet Isaiah, he led them to expect a coming kingdom age. And so what I want to do mainly in today's message is tell you about some of the amazing promises about a coming kingdom age found in the book of Isaiah. So for the next 15 minutes or so, I want to show you 11 differences, my friends, between this present evil age that we're in and the coming kingdom age as promised by Isaiah. And for each of these differences, there are many verses in Isaiah, my friends. There are many. And I've just selected one or two as a sample every time. So church, we're about to drench ourselves in Isaiah. But before we do, I just want to make a comment. I'd hate for you to hear this next section as though it were some kind of lecture about interesting information that is very far removed from your life. I pray that as I read these scriptures to you, that they will inspire faith in you. I pray that as I read them, they will inspire an expectation in you. I pray that these scriptures will generate a sense of what God can do and what God wants to do in your life, what He wants to do through your life. I pray that you'll experience a greater sense of what God wants to do in our church and through our church. So are you ready for a journey into the promises of Isaiah? Number one, in the present evil age, you will see injustice. You will see God's reign is hidden. But Isaiah promises in a coming kingdom age, he promises justice. He says God's reign makes things right. Isaiah 9, he says, "For to us a child is born, to us a son is given, and the government will be on his shoulders. Of the increase of his government and peace, there will be no end. He will reign on David's throne and over his kingdom, establishing and upholding it with justice and righteousness from that time on and forever. The zeal of the Lord Almighty will accomplish this." Isaiah 52 says, "How beautiful on the mountains are the feet of those who say to Zion, your God reigns." You see, God's kingdom is God's reign breaking in. It's God making things right. Second promise. In a present evil age, you'll see darkness. You'll see that God is not known. But in a coming kingdom age, Isaiah promises light. God will reveal his glory. Isaiah chapter 60 says, "Arise, shine, for your light has come, and the glory of the Lord rises upon you." The glory of the Lord rises upon you. See, darkness covers the earth, and thick darkness is over the peoples. But the Lord rises upon you, and his glory appears to you. You see, God's kingdom is God's light driving back darkness. God's kingdom is God revealing himself. It's God making himself known. Number three, in our present evil age, you will see no or little spirit. But in God's coming age, the Spirit will be abundantly poured out. Isaiah 32 says, the Spirit will be poured out upon us from on high, and the desert will become a fertile field, and that fertile field will seem like a forest. Wow. Isaiah 44 says, I will pour water on the thirsty land and streams on the dry ground. I will pour out my Spirit on your offspring and my blessing on your descendants. They will spring up like grass in meadows, like poplar trees by flowing streams. Wow. You see, God's kingdom is God pouring out His Spirit abundantly. Number four, the present evil age, you will see oppression. In Isaiah's coming kingdom age, you will see salvation. In chapter 12, he says, in that day you will say, I will praise you, O Lord. Although you were angry with me, your anger has turned away from me, and you have comforted me. Surely God is my salvation. I will trust and not be afraid. The Lord is my strength and my song. He has become my salvation. Wow. Isaiah 52 says, the Lord will lay bare his holy arm in the sight of all the nations, and all the ends of the earth will see the salvation of God. Wow. You see, God's kingdom is God saving and delivering us. The fifth promise, in this present evil age, man, you will see guilt abound. But in God's kingdom age, you will experience forgiveness. Isaiah 33 says, no one living in Zion will say, I am ill, and the sins of those who dwell there will be forgiven. Isaiah 43 says, I am he who blots out your transgressions for my own sake, and remember your sins no more. I love the fact that Isaiah links the provision of forgiveness for us through a Messiah's sacrifice. Wow, I just love it. In Isaiah 52, he says, surely he took up your pain and bore our suffering. He was pierced for our transgressions. He was crushed for our iniquities. The punishment that brought us peace was on him, and by his wounds we are healed. We all, like sheep, have gone astray. Each of us has turned to his own way, and the Lord has laid on him the iniquities of us all. You see, my friends, God's kingdom is God forgiving our sins and doing so through the sacrifice of a Messiah, forgiving our sins through the sacrifice of Jesus. I must be honest with you, my friends, and say that I've been praying that even today, some of you would know the forgiveness that Jesus purchased for you on that cross. I pray that even today, God's kingdom would break into your life. Number six, in this present evil age, look around you. You're going to see sick and broken. But Isaiah says here, in the coming kingdom age, you're going to see healing. You're going to see wholeness. Isaiah 35 says, Then will the eyes of the blind be opened and the ears of the deaf unstopped. Then will the lame leap like a deer and the mute tongue shout for joy. Thank you, Lord. Isaiah 61 says, the Spirit of the Sovereign Lord is on me, because the Lord has anointed me to preach good news to the poor. He has sent me to bind up the brokenhearted, to proclaim freedom for the captives and release from darkness for the prisoners. You see, God's kingdom is God healing us. God's kingdom is God making us whole. Wow. Number seven, in this present evil age, my friends, you will see despair and you will see distress. But in the coming kingdom age, you will experience peace, comfort, and joy. Isaiah 55 says, you will go out in joy and be led forth in peace. The mountains and the hills will burst into song before you, and all the trees of the field will clap their hands. Isaiah 61, the Spirit of the Sovereign Lord is on me. He has sent me to comfort all who mourn and provide for those who grieve in Zion, to bestow on them a crown of beauty instead of ashes, the oil of joy instead of mourning, and a garment of praise instead of a spirit of despair. Wow. You see, God's kingdom is God bringing peace, God bringing comfort and cosmic joy to this world. Joy to the world. Wow. Number 8. In this present evil age, my friends, you will see nations oppress God's people. But in a coming kingdom age, nations flood into God's family. Nations flood into God's people. Isaiah 49 says, I will also make you a light for the Gentiles, that you may bring my salvation to the ends of the earth. There's our mandate. Wow. Salvation to the ends of the earth. Isaiah 60. Nations will come to your light, and kings to the brightness of your dawn. Lift up your eyes and look about you. All assemble and come to you. Your sons come from afar. Your daughters are carried in the arms. Wow. You see, God's kingdom is God powerfully drawing people from every tribe, from every language, into His house, into His people, into His temple, into His family. Thank you, Lord. Number 9, in this present evil age, my friends, you will see people rebellious, you will see arrogance, and you will see idolatry. But in the coming kingdom age, God overcomes these enemies. Isaiah 2, he says, the arrogance of man will be brought low, and the pride of men humbled. The Lord alone will be exalted in that day. And the idols will totally disappear. Isaiah 43 says, the Lord will march out like a mighty man, like a warrior. He will stir up his zeal. With a shout, he will raise the battle cry, and he will triumph over his enemies. You see, God's kingdom will involve God dealing with rebellion, God dealing with arrogance and idolatry. The 10th promise we find in Isaiah is, in a present evil age, you will see death all around you. But in a coming kingdom age, death is destroyed, my friends, and we are given resurrection bodies. Isaiah 25, he will swallow up death forever. The Sovereign Lord will wipe away the tears from all faces. He will remove the disgrace of his people from all the earth. Wow. You see, God's kingdom will be the defeat of death. And it's going to include an immortal resurrection body for you. And then the last one, in this present evil age, you will see a fallen creation. Yeah. But in a new coming kingdom age, you will see creation renewed, a new creation. Isaiah 65 says, behold, I will create new heavens and a new earth. The former things will not be remembered, nor will they come to mind. You see, my friends, God's kingdom will be God restoring the entire cosmos. God will undo the damage humanity's fall has brought about. And then he's going to be bringing creation and culture to its full fruition. So let me pull it all together for us this morning. We have a kind of a definition of the kingdom that comes from this book of Isaiah. You see, God's kingdom comes when God's reign breaks in and makes things right. When God's light drives back darkness, and he makes himself known. God pours out His Spirit. He saves, He delivers, He forgives, He heals, He makes us whole. He brings peace, joy, and comfort to our lives. He draws all kinds of people into His family. He overcomes His enemies. He gives us resurrection life and one day resurrection bodies. God restores and renews. Can someone say wow? Wow. Can someone say wow? Wow. Thank you, Lord. But I want to notice, I want you to notice this morning, and I land with this. God's kingdom is not a place. When one might live in the Thailand kingdom or the United Kingdom or the United States, but God's kingdom, my friends, is not a place. It's more like an event. It's God doing something. It's God acting in kingly power. You see, my friends, kingdom is found wherever God is at work. Can I say that again? God's kingdom is found wherever God is at work. Wow. Notice that God's kingdom is not your work. It's not my work. It's not our work. It's God's work. Sure. He might work through us. And what a privilege that is. But it's still God's work that is kingdom come. God's work is kingdom come. And I end with this. Kingdom is what God is doing. Amen. Kingdom is God at work. Amen.